From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Tuesday, November 28th, 2023. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Kunath Cheesh, Hawa, Salama for joining the conversation. On today's show, a check-in with the Juno Douglas City Museum on the opening of Bonnie Lynn Parker's show this Friday, a preview with Perseverance Theater of their new production opening Friday called A Nice Indian Boy. Got Littles, the Juno Co-op Preschool, has a few slots left for this year. We'll find out more. And the Juno Nordic Ski Club also has a few spots open in their programs, and we'll chat about their annual ski season kickoff happening next week. Those conversations, music, and more coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
Hansen Gress, ka eat with the shu yi, we ka shuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta ka na khaya ha ani kak. Gunnish cheesh.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Ock Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Bonnie Lynn Parker is an artist born and raised in Alaska who uses the mediums of clay to explore the importance of handmade objects in an increasingly disposable world. And this Friday, the Juno Douglas City Museum is opening Bonnie Lynn's show, Animism Manufactured, Sacred Narratives in Clay. The opening reception is this Friday, and the show runs through January 27th. Here to chat about this are Kate Ross from the City Museum, as well as the artist themselves, Bonnie Lynn Parker. Gunnath Cheesh, hat ye adi, was a deity. How are you?
Hi. Doing good. Thanks, Boston.
Yeah, it's so good to have you both in the studio today. Juno Afternoon was on a little bit of a break. We're back. Everybody had a good public market, I'm assuming. Got myself a tie-dye hoodie from Eli's Dyes.
It's beautiful.
It was a very fun weekend, so that's good. But we're back, and we came back, and it's First Friday. It's Gallery Walk. It's the giantest one of the year. And Bonnie, you have a show that's going to be opening on this Friday.
Yeah.
That is so cool. Tell us a little bit about this show, Animism Manufactured.
Mm-hmm. So I think you already were wondering, what does animism mean?
Yeah.
Animism is a term to describe the belief that all objects have a spirit.
Yes.
That belief is widely held across cultures all through time, all through the world, all through religions. It's a really common feeling that people have about objects. And I'm really interested in that. And then with the spirit comes a story. I'm really interested in implied story. So those are kind of some of the things that I'm meditating on when making these objects.
Yeah. When I saw the topic, I was like, I don't know what animism is. So I had to look it up, of course. I was like, what is that? That's so fun. And yeah, it's this idea that there is a soul attached to anything. It could be a plant or an inanimate object, or that all things in the universe have some kind of living soul. Is that is that the idea around it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the manufactured part references a lot of the materials that I use in my handmade objects are coming from manufactured processes, mostly disposable objects. So styrofoam, bubble wrap, cardboard. So it's kind of just a juxtaposition between surface information relating to disposable materials, but presented in a eternal material, a permanent.
I see. Yeah, because I was wondering about that, because the title is so interesting, because it kind of has a little antithetical sort of meaning to it, right? Because there's the animism, which is the soulful sort of thing, but then manufactured is the stuff that is, like you're saying, made that. But even then, though, a styrofoam cup would be considered to have some sort of soul and story, right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. That's so cool. And then you put these things together, right? You, cause some of the pictures that Kate had sent over, it looks like you're mixing and matching the different materials and you're creating a new story, right? Sort of a new soul out of these different objects.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And I do love that, that strange place, like how much of this animism do we feel about a styrofoam cup, right? If all objects have a soul, what does that soul look like compared to a handmade object? Do we have those same beliefs, right?
How long have you been working in this kind of material?
I've been working in clay for 20 years. Okay. This body of work kicked off about 10 years ago. Well, how old am I? Where am I?
It's Tuesday. It's November 28th. That's all I know.
So I would say this body of work is a continuation of my master's thesis work that I finished in 2015. So since about 2014, probably, did I go down this line.
See. So you started working with clay originally. And when was that? Was that when you were a younger person?
Yes. I took my first ceramics class at UAS in Sitka in 2004.
Okay.
And have been rolling with clay pretty hard ever since.
And then so at first you were just working with the clay, but then did you start bringing in these disposable objects and it was something? And how did that start to happen? How did that sort of inspiration come to you?
Well, it's been in my mind for a long time. When I was I got my undergrad at UAS in ceramics, and I ran the recycling program there for a while. And I think that anything you do repetitively in your life, anything that you interact with often, it filters into your work at some point. So recycling was such a huge part of my everyday. It started filtering or making its way into my ceramic artwork when I was in undergrad, but it didn't present itself in kind of this presentation until graduate school. But it's always been making its way in and out of my pieces.
So how do you then incorporate, I'm curious about the process. How do you get an idea? Because clay is its own sort of thing that you can morph into anything you want, right? And then you've got these other disposable objects, in essence, different pieces of material, recycling materials. How does that spark come to you? Do you see it in your mind's eye? Do you see something in the world that you're trying to recreate? And even if it's in a, you know, a non-literal way?
Yeah. So that's one fun thing about clay is you can make clay look like anything.
Yeah.
But you can't make anything look like clay. It's got this very unique characteristic. But through a process called slip casting, you can make a plaster mold of anything. So I make plaster molds of beer cans, bottles, styrofoam, plastic, containers, and then you pour liquid clay into them and you get basically an exact replica made out of clay. So I take some pieces, I form that way, and I combine them with other pieces that have impressed textures from more flexible materials like cardboard and bubble wrap. And I sometimes combine those with wheel thrown pieces as well. So I combine a lot of different processes. It's a very collage-like process when I'm putting things together.
That's fascinating.
Thanks.
You mentioned sort of the wheel. Are you making everything on the wheel? So are you like throwing the styrofoam cup in there at the same time? You throw the clay on and then, I guess you could put the water in the styrofoam cup and just throw it on there, right?
I'm going to try that probably.
See what happens.
Yeah. So I usually, I use the wheel, to make parts sometimes. I don't use it very often. But what I usually do is I make a whole pile of pieces and I keep them in wet containers so that I can use them throughout an extended period of time. And so I collect and I create a bunch of different parts. And then I'll spend like a week putting all those parts together and seeing how they fit together and kind of freestyle. It's kind of an impulsive making process at that point. But it takes a little time to get all the pieces ready.
Yeah. So you have them all at your disposal and then sort of inspiration comes in the moment as you're working. mm-hmm. in the studio. That is really cool. So what are we going to be seeing at this exhibit for a couple of months, really? It's running through the end of January. So what are we going to be seeing?
For a lot of artists, including myself, it can be useful to have some parameters around what you make. If I don't have parameters, the world is too big. I go crazy.
Freedom within the structure.
Yes. So the parameters for this, I make tableware, a lot of tableware and serving dishes. So it's all, quote, functional ceramics, so more utilitarian. And so we're going to have place settings, cups and bowls, things that you use kind of in an intimate way to nourish yourself, as well as more presentation pieces. So display pieces like big platters that can be used as a wall decoration or serving food on. Can have some teapots, things like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it opens this Friday, and Kate, you have more of the details. So give us the details of First Friday for the museum. And I know you have some other announcements that we wanted to get to as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So the First Friday opening reception during Gallery Walk will be Friday, December 1st from 4 to 7. We'll have some snacks and Bonnie's new exhibit, which I'm so excited to see everything all hung. I got a little sneak peek earlier today, and these pieces are just so beautiful, and just the detail in them is incredible. You just want to keep looking at them more and more and discovering new textures and details. So I'm really excited to see the exhibit once it's finally all the way up. So that will be, First Friday opening reception during Gallery Walk, and then running all the way through January 27th. And all the pieces in the show will be available for purchase, but they have to stay part of the show until the show closes. But Bonnie has also made a little special line of some other things, like some cups that will be available in the store for purchase that you can take home right then. So if anyone's looking for like a very, very cool, unique holiday gift for anyone, that's going to be a great
those
thing
holidays
to think
are
about.
Here, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, capitalism, we've all got our feelings about it, but when it comes to gifts, I think local art is the kind of the way to go. So, this exhibit is going to be really, really cool, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it in its kind of final form. Let's see. Oh, the other really cool thing about Gallery Walk is this year, for the first time, that trolley that goes in that loop downtown between the tram, Front Street, and the State Museum, this year we'll be making a stop at the Capitol building. So the Capitol will be open and having some refreshments and a little reception. We've got some of our City Museum volunteers will be there to help out with that. But the Capitol building is conveniently right across the street
from
the City Museum.
Like, what's across the street from the Capitol
building? It's crazy, right? I know. Who had that brilliant idea? I think it was Beth. I think it was my boss, Beth. So you can just hop right on the ferry. So even if we have that kind of rainy, colder weather happening, you can go right from the heart of Gallery Walk on Front Street, just right up the hill in a trolley.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's great. So that's First Friday. And then I know we also wanted to mention that someone we know, a beloved person of our show, won an award.
Yes. Yeah. We are really excited to announce the 2023 Marie Darlin Prize has been awarded to Lily Hope.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Jill Cat Weaver, Lily Hope.
Exactly.
Has her own store downtown. Mm-hmm. Was at Public Market this last weekend. Just did a presentation at the Smithsonian. What doesn't Lily do?
She does it all. She's incredible.
I don't know how she does it. But anyway, and then what else is happening at the museum?
So the other big thing museum adjacent is actually tomorrow we're having the Friends of the Juno Douglas City Museum annual meeting, which is their annual board meeting with elections to board seats and changing some of the bylaws, state of the organization, things like that. But everyone is welcome to come check it out if you're interested in what the Friends does. If you're interested in becoming a board member, there are going to be some new seats potentially, and there will be a small presentation presentation by Tasha Elizarde about Mugga Cuento, which will be kind of continuing that exhibit at the Philcom Hall.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And it's going to have food, delicious, delicious, amazing food catered by Lionel from Red Spruce. So we're really excited for that. It's free. Everyone is welcome. We really encourage you to come check that out, kind of hear what the museum's been up to, what the friends of the museum are up to, and have some tasty, tasty food.
That's awesome. And so it's Bonnie Lynn Parker show opening on Friday. Animism.
Manufactured.
structural narrative. I'm trying to just remember.
Sacred narratives in clay.
There we go. And it was, how do we follow you, Bonnie?
Oh, I am on Instagram is a really good way to follow me. At Bonnie Parker, BoniParker. I have a website, www.bonnielynnparker.com, just to keep y'all on your toes.
And Lynn with one N, right?
Yeah. BoniIlyn.
Right. Okay.
It's kind of a weird one.
Yeah. BonnieLynnParker.com.
Yep.
Okay. Or Bonnie Parker on Instagram.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. You can see some of your work there, I'm sure, and follow the story of things getting created. And of course, you can follow the museum at juno.org/museum for all the events that we talked about. But it's Gallery Walk. It's First Friday. It's Bonnie's show. Check it out. Bonnie, Kate, thanks for coming in and telling us all about it.
Ganesh Cheesh.
Up next, Perseverance Theater opens its next production this Friday. It's called The Good Indian Boy. We'll have a preview next here on Juno Afternoon from KTOO. Very bad. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I am Boston Christopher, your host. Perseverance Theater, in partnership with Enact Theater from California, is producing Madhuri Shekhar's A Nice Indian Boy. It's opening this Friday and will run through December 17th and will also be available via video on demand. I'm pleased to be joined in studio by two of the principal members of the cast, Tristan Cameron and Jack Schultz, and hopefully our director, then the artistic director of Enact Theater, will also be joining us as well. Gunath Chish Hat Yea Di Wasaiati.
Hey,
hello.
Boston.
How's everybody doing?
Good. How are you?
That's good. It's so nice to see you all. So my first questions were for Vanita, the director. So, but I'll ask you, Tristan, since you also work at the theater, give us a brief rundown of A Nice Indian Boy.
For sure. Yeah. It's a wonderful, wonderful story. The play kind of deals with a lot of intersectionality, queer relationships, how queer relationships kind of are tied into traditional Indian values as well. The play itself is about Naveen Gavaskar, who goes to the temple one day and meets this guy in the temple, Keshav. And he...
Surprise, it's me.
And they hit it off really, really quickly. And it's really about... like interracial relationships as well, and what it means to be raised in a cultural identity, but then not being recognized in that because of outward appearance. And it deals with like a very it's like a lovely rom-com story as well. So a lot of really cheesy scenes.
They're not cheesy. They're sweet.
Cheesy
in a good way.
Cheesy in a good way. Sorry. Cheese. Good cheese. Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, Jack, I'd love to hear your thoughts on it too.
Okay. So this is, in my opinion, it's the perfect time of year for this play because it's really about love and acceptance, and it's such a beautiful story, and it is so cool too, what Vanita is doing with all of the like very traditional clothing and cooking. Like, we're actually cooking on stage, like Indian food. It's going to smell amazing in there. And like the set is gorgeous. So like it's going to be a 5D experience.
Right, right. Because I think you mentioned it, Tristan, that you meet this other character played by Jack. And and then you bring them home to meet the family and the wackiness ensues, right? Is that basically what happens?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know how much to
give. You don't want to give away the whole thing. But I mean, I know Bollywood's involved a little bit, right? And I was playing a Bollywood love theme to come into the interview, so that was good. Job Talk, which was by Armin Malek, which is a cool song. I like that song a lot, so I thought it was perfect for this. But sort of, yeah, you don't want to give away, but it is. But it's about how you, as the appearance that you are, right?
Yeah, I'm the only white person in the cast. Yes.
Yeah, and so that will be obvious, and when we see the play, and that the family is a little shocked by that, and then sort of all the things that have to unfold to find acceptance or love or not, right? Like in terms of that and the struggles of that and the conflict of that. That's the conflict of the play, right?
Exactly. It's the family kind of based on their own experiences in life, kind of approach Naveen and Keshav in their own way and come to acceptance and their understanding of their relationship over the course of the show. And it's beautiful how that comes to be.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really great. Now, Tristan, I know that you've been working at Perseverance for a couple years as sort of the arts administration fellow, but you also have a performance background. So it must be exciting to be, you've been working backstage for a couple years, and it must be exciting to sort of get on stage this time around. Tell us about how that came about and a bit more about, you know, your process and this and your work on this play.
Yeah. Perseverance has done so much for me, both as an artist, but also as an arts admin person. I got my degree from Southern Oregon University back in 2021. Coming here has been such a blessing because I've never been in a space before that has been, like their processes have just done so much for BIPOC and queer artists, both in Alaska, but then also around the country as well. Just kind of being an example of what theater can be, and as a tool for advocacy and for just improving the quality of people's lives. But yeah, so I got my degree from Southern Oregon University in 2021, and then I came up here to support the theater. And stepping back into the acting gig has been interesting. You know, it's been nice to kind of bring that part of myself back to the forefront, and kind of both get to see the show take shape from an outside perspective in terms of advertising, in terms of gathering all of the logistics together, but then also being able to put that forth creatively on stage. And it's just been nice to be able to represent my mom's side of the family and to kind of be the person that I wanted to be when I was young. You know, I knew I wanted to be an actor from a very young age, and I knew I wanted to be an inspiration for kids like me. And now I'm up on stage and I'm doing it, and it feels like I'm making that dream come true. So it's been amazing.
That's great. And Jack, we've seen you in many things around town. It must be nice to be working in this play. Has anything changed in terms of process on this play, or how's it been so far?
It's been a really unique experience in that everyone is, this is the most like a family that I've been involved in any kind of production. Like, everyone is just so warm, so like willing to share their culture and their food. And like, I have felt so lucky to be included as like an outsider to Indian culture and just be taught and get to experience all these wonderful connections with people who I met like 2 months ago and they already feel so close to my heart. Yeah. So it's felt, it's been it's a really unique group of people who are so giving. So I'm excited for everybody else to experience that too.
That's great. Mm-hmm. And so we have some other cast members. Do you want to mention those real quick, Tristan?
We have a few cast members who are coming from both from the Bay Area and then one from New York. We have Aditi Sangavi. She's coming from New York, an incredible artist. She's playing Arundhati in the play. We have Dilip Ratnam, who is playing Archit in the show. He's from the Bay Area. He's playing our dad and future dad-in-law, which is awesome. And then we have Sukanya, who's also from the Bay Area, and she's playing our mom. And it's just been a lovely ensemble so far. Like Jack was saying, everyone is so giving. Everyone is so willing to connect. And, you know, that love is evident in the play, you know, because we were able to connect with each other on a deeper level.
Well, it's always nice to have the sort of cross-pollination of actors from outside as well as some folks who are from Juneau, because you get to learn from each other and share that experience. And I'm sure they're having the nice culture shock of it getting dark at like 3:30 in the afternoon. You know, I mean, the Bay Area is not necessarily like that. Weather-wise, it's about, you know, it's a little similar.
Sukanya experienced snow for the first time.
Oh.
And oh my God, what a joy to see that for her.
Yeah, it reminds us remember to maybe be a little excited about it, even though most of us are like, oh no, that can't be. Okay, so, and it, I know you have, do you have a preview?
We do. We have one coming up on Wednesday. It's a pay as you can. So if you have like $10 or so dollars to come by and come see a show, please do. It's a great opportunity. And that show will begin at 7:30 on Wednesday.
Okay. And then give us the rundown of dates and all that good stuff. We open Friday.
Yes, we open Friday, December 1st, and then we'll be running Thursday through Sunday until December 17th, or Sunday, December 17th.
Okay, great. And then after that is when it becomes on video on demand as well, right? It runs. This show's not going to Anchorage. This one's not going to Anchorage.
This one.
But this one will also have a little bit of a run on video. So if you cannot make it to the theater, if you know somebody who doesn't live in Juneau and can't see the production, they can get in on it that way, right?
Yes. For those who can't make it to the theater, we will have a video on demand option.
Yeah. But best to go to the theater if you live in Juneau, right?
Oh, yeah. There's nothing like seeing it live.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's our video on demand option is operated by our associate managing director, Josh Lohman. He does an incredible job of putting that stuff together.
Yeah.
And that will also be available on our website. Check out ptalaska.org to find out more details about that.
That's great. And I know this is also a co-production with Enact Theater, which is based in California. I mentioned California. They also have a theater in Houston as well. So they operate in both spaces. And they sort of focus on South Indian cultural experiences, right? Mm-hmm. And I know Vanita, if Vanita was here, would tell us a little bit more about that. But I'm just curious, how has that collaboration been in terms of learning? Are you learning more, Tristan or Jack, about South Indian theater in overall?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Having been born in the U.S. And like being first generation born here, my mom's side of the family was the first to come. And so my sister and I grew up here, but my mom didn't. So I didn't have as much knowledge of the South Asian community growing up. Just growing up in Washington, it was a very Caucasian high school, a very Caucasian school district. So I didn't have as much opportunity to learn as much as I would have liked. But this production has been a blessing exactly for that. And our partnership with Enact has been a blessing because of that. We're just so honored to be able to bring more South Asian traditions and culture and Bollywood into the community. It's Bollywood is such, it's so grand. It's so beautiful. The music and the choreography is so it just touches the heart in a way that's so so amazing.
It's so much passion too.
Yes.
You know, and I'm assuming that we're going to get a little bit of Bollywood music in the show.
You might, yeah.
Maybe a little bit.
Also want to mention how amazing Nimi from Spice has been. She and has been collaborating with us with the Indian community here and has provided so much to the show. So I think we'd be remiss if we didn't thank Nimi. Thank you so much.
Yeah, she's been a crucial part of this process. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
That's absolutely wonderful. Well, it's so great. It opens Friday. It's a nice Indian boy, and it sounds like a lovely piece of work. It sounds like you all are having a good, you don't look too tired, even though I know you're in the middle of tech and all that stuff.
We had a day off yesterday.
Good. So you're a little refreshed. Well, break a leg on the show. And for more, of course, you can go to ptalaska.org, get all the details, get yourself some tickets or find out the run of the schedule and all that good stuff and read about all these wonderful artists. Tristan, Jack, thank you so much for coming in today. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Gunnath Jeesh. Up next, Juno Co-op Preschool is looking for a few good kids between the ages of 3 and 5. We'll find out more about the program and how to get involved next here on Juno Afternoon from KTOO. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akwan. The Glenadi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot, once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages, and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life. For today, and for future generations. I wonder if I'm growing. I wonder if I'm growing. My mom says, yes, I'm growing. But it's hard for me to see. My mom says, eat your sandwich, it'll make you grow up tall. But when I eat my sandwich, I'm hardly bigger at all. And I wonder if I'm growing. I wonder if I'm growing. My mom says, yes, I'm growing. But it's hard for me to see. My mom says, wash your hands now, then you can go and play. Hey, I can reach the tap now for the very first time today. And I think I must be growing. Oh, I know I'm really growing. My mom says, yes, I'm growing. And now I know it's true. You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Juno's co-op preschool's goal is to create a safe, positive, and accepting environment where adults and children learn together, with the belief that it is beneficial for families to be in the classroom learning and participating with their children. Also, they have a few spots still open for this year. It's not too late. Here to tell us a bit more is Buck Willoughby. Gunnath Jeesh, hat yi gudi. Buck, how are you?
Gunnath Jeesh, merci. Thank you for having me here.
Absolutely. So I was playing a little Raffi there, one of my favorite songs, I Wonder If I'm Growing, about, you know, going from being a little to getting a little bigger and sort of, you know, being able to reach the sink and be able to brush your teeth and all that good stuff. It always gives me a little heartwarm to hear that song. And the littles are so important, right? I mean, the littles are just like, they're so adorable at that age, 3 to 5.
They're incredible. You know, they're inspirational. They're inspired. They're learning so much. And it's a great environment for them to do that together. And, you know, they're making mistakes and they're learning through those mistakes. And, you know, we have an amazing staff of teachers and parents that are involved in the program. So we're not a daycare, you know, we're not where you're going to come drop your kids off. Each parent has about one workday a month where they're responsible for staying during the class time and helping out or running a station or just, you know, helping with the kids. And they bring a snack. They provide the snack for that day. And yeah, and it's just great to be involved and see these young kids grow. And, you know, we've got a pretty young class right now, and already they're starting to, you know, just thrive with each other and grow and become comfortable in the environment. And and it's a staple in Juneau. You know, it's been around for over 50 years. And you talk to so many people in town, they said, oh, my kids went there and now their kids are in college. Or we have some parents that come through that they went there as students and now they're bringing their kids there.
Well, you know, you mentioned the thing about, you know, they're learning and making mistakes. And I'm still doing that. It never gets old. And I, you know, we all hope for a place where those mistakes and those failures can be held, you know, and there's a safe place to land and a safe place to fall. And, it's no more important for anyone else, but especially when you're young, you know, and, I think that's really valuable. And the idea that this is a co-op school, and that's where you're talking about the co-op part is the parents, right?
Yeah, all the parents are involved. And it takes a village. You know, we need someone to help with the laundry. We need someone to be the secretary on the board, you know, and everyone has a job to do. And it's great. We really, people get to fit their or choose the job that works best for them. You know, we're not going to assign something to someone if they don't want to do it. You know?
Right, so, right. Yeah. You know, what's interesting about that too, is to think about, you know, that's one of the harder parts is when you have to send your kid off to school and it breaks your heart to see them go. And, you know, and yes, you're like, oh good, I got part of my day back. Yeah. Right. But it also breaks your heart a little bit. So with this, you get that transition for yourself as well as a parent to be able to sort of be there and see them growing and see them in a different environment, help them socialize, do all that kind of thing. And then when it's time for kindergarten or to actually go off into the school, wherever they end up going, then it might be a little bit easier on you too.
Yeah. And it's a great start. And you get to know what's going on. I know most 3 to 5 year old kids aren't going to come home and say, well, I did this and then I did that. You know, they're not going to give you much detail. So it's a great way for you to see it. And then you get to know their friends' names. And then it's just great for the other kids too, you know, to hear influence from parents that are not their own parents. And everyone's really gentle and, you know, really understands that these are small minds, you know, and they're learning. And, you know, it's great to just give them the chance to learn in a safe, you know, caring environment.
You mentioned that the school has been around for a while. How did it come about? How did this happen? How did it start?
Boy, you know, that's a great question. I know that preschool has changed a lot over the years. And, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, it was much more commonplace to have one parent at home and that parent was the primary caregiver. And I think it just originated, you know, from a bunch of parents, you know, all doing the same thing individually. And they said, boy, why don't we come together and do this together and pool our resources? And, you know, and through that, the cooperative preschool is born and it changes every year. It changes with the parents involved and, but the structure remains the same and, you know, it's a play-based program. There's a chance for the kids to, solve puzzles and play with different substrate, you know, from everything in the natural world to water to, you know, we have guinea pigs, stick bugs, you know, we watch the mushrooms, transform in the fall and, yeah. And so, but now we've been changing. We've been trying to add a little more time. So now we have openings from 9 to noon, Monday through Friday. And then we've also added a preschool plus program that goes from noon to 3, Monday through Thursday. So for those working parents, you know, it gives them a little more time if they want to be involved in both programs. You know, they're not just getting a few hours in the morning, but they can actually, you know, get a good chunk of time during the day where they know their kid is, you know, being well cared for in a, you know, learning, playful environment.
Is the student going from 9, can they go to both or do they go to one?
Yeah, it runs back to back.
Okay. So if you wanted to put somebody into both, you could, or you could put them into one.
And, exactly.
Yeah, I see. Okay. Preschool plus.
Yes,
everything's preschool a plus, right?
Yes, it is. And then I want to mention that we do have individual scholarships that we offer for people that maybe require a little tuition assistance. We currently have one opening for that scholarship now, and we have another one that'll be opening in the new year. And then also, you know, the state does have a child care assistance program themselves. So I know, you know, Alaska is a very expensive place to live, and it's hard to, you know, justify, you know, spending a lot of money to care for your kids, or it's hard. So it's great that the state has resources, and we have resources to offer people that maybe if it's a little tight for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned the philosophy a little bit in terms of the structure of the day, in terms of play, and it's play-based, and you're learning through that, right? Sort of like watching the mushrooms grow and then talking about how that happens and the process of that. And so is that kind of the philosophy of it? Is that what parents can expect?
When you were average day, you would come into the preschool, you'd be greeted in the coat room, and you'd go into the classroom, and there would be several different stations. You know, maybe there's a station where we're grinding cranberries to make a cranberry relish, and there's a station where we're making arts and crafts, and then there's a table with Play-Doh, and there's the guinea pigs, and then there's a sensory table that, you know, all the time we have different things in there. We had ice in there and Antarctic animals, you know, the other day. Mm. And so the kids really have free choice, you know, and they could go painting, or they have really free choice of what they want to do. And it's pretty amazing to just see them, you know, gravitate to the things that they're interested in.
It sounds like it's also a precursor to some of those other schooling philosophies like Waldorf or Montessori. Like, it sort of has that kind of foundation to it, where it's not necessarily, it's what I like to say, I mentioned this phrase earlier on the show too, with an artist, but it's like freedom within the structure. There's a structure, there's different stations, but you're free then to go to that thing and do that, or to this other one to do that, depending upon what is where your whims take you, I guess.
Yes, it is structured and you wouldn't know it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you don't even know that it's happening. And I think that's good. I know that when my daughter was growing up, that the idea of, I learned how, and I think for everybody, actually, I think we all need this. I know I need it in my life too, but structure actually helps you, you know, and you don't think that sometimes. You're like, I don't want to be involved in structure. I want freedom. But there's something about it that, like, in human, we innately need that sort of, like, it's not that we want to be boxed in, but we want to have a place where we know it's safe to be, and then to choose within that safe place, right?
Which absolutely is kind of cool. Yeah. I mean, consistency is key. You know, it's nice to know what to expect, you know, when you wake up and when you go to bed and when you go about your day to day. So,
yeah,
I can't speak highly enough about the program. If you want to go to our website, it's junopreschool.org. You can email our registration coordinator. We have our phone numbers on there if you'd like to call and talk to one of the teachers, or you could talk to any of the board members. Are more than willing to talk about the program. We're all big fans, so we all love to share that program.
That's awesome. And you did say you have a few spots still available for this year, right? If people want to get involved.
We do. We do have a few spots open now, and that's why I wanted to just come on the show and just make people aware of that. Thanks a lot for having me.
Of course. Absolutely. Gunnath Cheech, for being here. It's junopreschool.org. Or for more information, you can also email junocooppreschool@gmail.com. But best thing to do is go to the website or just give them a phone call. It sounds like they're easy to talk to, and we'll give you all the information you need.
Yeah, exactly. And we have a sub program for people that maybe don't want to do it full time. You know, once they're enrolled in the program, they can do just kind of drop in as there's availability. And there's a lot of different options.
Yeah, because I'm sure parents want to find out, like, what is my involvement? What do I need to do to be part of it? Because it is a co-op. It is a co-op. You will be involved as a parent.
Exactly.
And and you get to structure that too in terms of whatever is workable for you.
Yeah, and there's no pressure. You know, we encourage people to come in and just try it out and see if it's a good fit for them.
That's awesome. Buck, thank you so much for coming in. Juno Co-op Preschool, and it's junopreschool.org is where you can get more information. Gunnath Cheech.
Thank you, Boston.
Up next, Juno Nordic Ski Club will kick off ski season next week. We'll have a preview and chat about how to get involved. This is Juno Afternoon from KTOO. are listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. As the winter approaches and the temperatures dip, some of us retreat into hibernation. Others relish this time of year and are getting ready to jump on their skis and blast off. The Juno Nordic Ski Club is hosting the annual ski season kickoff next Wednesday, not tomorrow, but next Wednesday, December 6th, and it will have a ski and gear swap opportunity, and there will also be some new ski club swag that will be available. It's all about education and support of Nordic skiing here in Juneau. And with some spots still open in some of the youth programs, it's a great time to get involved. And I have a studio full of people. Gunnath Cheesh. Hat ye adi to you all. Wasa iati.
Gunnath Cheesh. Thanks for having us.
Hi. So I have so many people that we're going to let everyone sort of introduce themselves, and then we'll talk about some of these details. So let's start over here. Get up right close to that mic and tell me your name and what program you're in.
I'm Gracie, and I'm in the middle school Nordic ski team.
Okay, great.
I'm Sana, and I'm in the middle school Nordic ski team.
I'm Sigrid, and I'm in the same program as they are.
Okay, great. And who do we have over here?
I'm Tristan, and I coordinate the youth programs for the Juno Nordic Ski Club. So I am on all three of the teams.
Okay.
I am Jasper, and I'm on the elementary team.
Awesome. Okay, and then I know we have another little Jasper who... Say hi, Jasper. No?
No, Jasper is not quite old enough for the elementary program,
but
so just
soon.
Checking it out.
Just checking it out, watching to see how all the others play, and maybe eventually Jasper will hop on a team.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay, that's awesome. Okay, so tell us a little bit about the Juno Nordic Ski Club. What does it do, and what are the great benefits about it?
Well, we like to proudly call ourselves the wettest ski club in North America.
Yes,
we're the sounding board for cross country skiing in Juno. Many people know us because we groom ski trails here in town, the campground, the Mendenhall Lake, Montana Creek, Pioneer Road, Salmon Creek Road. If you like to get out on cross-country skis and go out on groomed trail, we have set that trail. And we do it in large part because of all of our members. We're community-supported nonprofit. People become members, and that is what... And we're nearly an all-volunteer organization, so all the people that go out and groom our trails are volunteers. But that's not all we do. We also we plan and develop new cross-country ski trails. We're working with the city and the Forest Service to expand cross-country skiing, the network of trails in the Mendenhall Valley and Montana Creek. So that's been an ongoing effort, and we're super, super excited about that. And then we also do community events and programming. We have adult events and programs for adults. We have our ski season kickoff coming up next week. And then our other most robust and visible program are our youth programs.
That's what we're talking about today. So let's talk about the middle school program. There's still a couple slots in each of these programs.
Yep.
For the middle school and the elementary school. I think Tristan told me before we started there are four spots left for each.
That's it.
And where do people go real quick before?
JNSKI.org is the website. And there's information there. You can register. It's pretty simple. And we're saying either by the end of this month or when those spots go, whatever comes first.
Gotcha.
Is when registration ends.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so you three over here in the middle school program, whoever wants to tackle this question, let me know. But what's the best part about this program for you?
I'll start. The social aspect is a really big part for me because it doesn't only get me outside and exercise, but I get to see my friends apart from school. And it's definitely like a bonding experience in more ways than one because we exercise together, hang out together, and those relationships definitely travel out of the ski program too.
I see. Okay. Well, what about you all?
I really like the exercise aspect. It's kind of a way to exercise without really feeling like you're exercising because there's like a lot of games and it's a lot of like hanging out with your friends and making new friends.
Yeah, absolutely. What about you, Gracie?
For me,
When I started, I didn't know what I was getting myself into, but it's become sort of a passion for me. And I like making friends with people who also have that same passion for skiing.
Absolutely. And so this is Nordic skiing is basically cross country skiing, right? So this isn't the downhill version. And so it's really, is it tough on your body? Like, does it really work all those muscles and like get you sort of, you know, it gets you that exercise that you want?
Yeah, I would say that it definitely, like, you feel tired, but it's a good tired because you know that you've gone outside with your friends. Yeah.
You can kind of choose, like, the level of exercise you want to get. You can either go, like, really hard or take it easy and kind of just go kind of on the slower side.
I see.
If you go to most of the practices, you can get like super jacked really quickly.
So is that the goal? Get super jacked? Yeah. No, because it builds up your endurance, right? Yeah. So you can go longer and longer and longer. Because some of these trails we have are not necessarily short, right? I mean, these are some effort involved. Yeah.
I think what's worth pointing out too about all of our programs, we also have a high school ski team, and they've already been practicing. They're almost a month into their season, but that no matter your age, it's open to skiers of all abilities and ski experiences. We, every year in our high school program, for example, we have juniors and seniors who sign up who've never cross-country skied before. And the same in middle school and definitely in our elementary school program. We really take people, we welcome people where they're at, young skiers, and we just want people to get excited about the sport and carry it with them through the rest of their life.
That's awesome. Let's talk to Jasper. Jasper, what's your favorite part of this so far?
I like making new friends and I like the exercise because it doesn't take much energy and it's very fun.
Yeah, fun is the most important aspect, really. That's a good one. And how old are you, Jasper?
I'm 10.
10. Okay, that's great. And is there a minimum age for the elementary school program?
It used to be first grade, and then a couple of years ago, we lowered it to kindergarten. And in the elementary program, skiers choose either classic skiing or skate skiing. They pick one technique for the season. And if people, classic skiing is kind of the traditional, it's like you're walking or running, but you're on skis. And then skate skiing is like, imagine being on ice skates, you're skating along that way. And the middle school program, skiers do both kinds of skiing. And the other really important thing about our programs is that we know that cost is a huge issue in equipment. And so we offer low-cost equipment rentals for nearly everyone that participates in our program. Most people rent equipment from us, so you don't have to worry about finding your own skis. And then our program fees are offered on a sliding scale. So whatever you or your family can pay, the most important thing is that if you're interested, you can join us and be a part of the fun.
Well, I mean, evidenced by all the folks in the room with the smiles on your faces, this is fun, right? It seems like it's really fun with all the extra benefits of socializing as well as exercise. And so it kicks off next week, right? Do you all have to work this ski swap party that's happening next week?
I don't think we have to work it, but we're definitely going to be there.
These guys are going to get their skis. We check out skis this weekend, actually, then they get them for the month. Both programs get really rolling in the new year in January. January and February and March are like our best ski months here for anyone that's been here long enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, that's so great. And jnski.org is the website where you want to go.
jnski.org, yep.
And you have a couple of days left, right? Until these signups go. There's 4 slots in the elementary and there's 4 slots in the middle school, and you can join these wonderful folks on their adventures.
Absolutely. Yep. And all the information is on the website. And then if you're just curious about cross-country skiing in general, or you want to get involved, we like to say our club is run on volunteers. Come by on our ski kickoff event next Wednesday at the Alaskan Brewing Company tasting room. And it's just a fun opportunity to kind of say, here's to the new season and find out what this club is all about.
Sounds so good. Well, thank you all so much for coming in, Gunnath Cheesh, and best of luck on an awesome ski season.
Thank you.
Gunnath Cheesh. Bye.
Bye.
All right, that will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Have a terrific Tuesday. On tomorrow's show, CBJ Parks and Rec's 4th annual Candy Cane Hunt, a look at the local Bridge Adult Day program. Plus, this Friday is the big annual Gowrie Walk. We'll have a preview. Juno Afternoon airs Tuesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno and KAUK Juno Auk Bay. Find more online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp.